Welcome to the London Welsh Rugby Club podcast.
Our guest this week is former London Welsh and Leicester player Di Williams. Di comes from a great sporting stock with a strong athletic background from both sides of his parents' family. He was raised in Leicestershire and made his way into the Leicester team full of seasoned internationals. A few years later, he moved to Brighton and made the move to London Welsh and played here for seven seasons. He talks about a pivotal game in which he performed poorly, which then meant he was out of the side for a few seasons. But the Druids and Dragons back then had quality players, so he still felt part of a quality club playing top-level rugby. It didn't matter what squad you're in, as long as you wore the red shirt of London Welsh. Di has been organising the former player lunch over the last 5 years, and this has sold out on April the 6th for our game versus Hammersmith. This is being billed as Super Saturday, with the Druids playing at 1 o'clock and the first 15 at 3 o'clock. If players want to be on the mailing list, his email address is on the episode page of this podcast. Post rugby, Di played vets for the Bank of England. He formed the Martini Club and is a huge part of the Voyagers' success. A true London Welsh rugby man and a top fella to boot. Enjoy. Welcome to the pod, former Leicester and London Welsh player, Di Williams. How are you, Di?
I'm very well, Gareth, thank you.
Because if we're recording over Easter weekend, look, I know it's been a really busy time for you of late because you've been sorting out the ex-players' lunch for our next home against Hammersmith on April the 6th. How long have you been doing this for London Welsh?
I suppose it's probably only about 6 or 7 years, I'm not sure. It was originally when I was playing or playing, all the ex-players lunches were organised by Edgar, Gareth James and John Dawes. And then they sort of, I think, drifted a bit. And I thought, well, they're a good occasion. It's great when everyone can get to meet each other again. And I thought, let's resurrect it. So I sort of thought, grasped the nettle and did it for my sins.
Now, look, it's safe to say this one on April the 6th is going to be the biggest one yet. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think over the years, we thought we normally get about 70 or 80 people and we're upstairs in the rooms up there. And it's a bit disjointed in the two rooms. And we said last year, me and Gareth James said, look, we really need to try and get this bigger. There's obviously a lot of players. I've only got a database of a certain number of people. If you're not on the database, you probably don't get to hear about it unless obviously your mates tell you or something like that. So Gar James down in Crickowl has done a sterling job getting his sort of cadre to come, and we're ranging basically now. We're ranging from the players that played in the 60s up until the professional era with Rob Lewis. I mean, Rob Lewis has got a table of 11 as well. So we've got a real spread of people and, we've told people, look, if you know people that think they enjoy it, get in touch with them and send them my email and they'll send them their email and I'll get them on the database. So I've got a lot more people that weren't on it that are on it now and obviously will be on it for the future.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to see some of the professional players back because a lot of them have been either still playing or coaching and now maybe falling out of that and feel they want to come back to a place where they enjoy playing their rugby. And to have a bit of camaraderie with other people they played with, and let's hope this can only get bigger, really. Because I know we've got you said over 140, I think, for in the players' lunch, but we've got like a big day. We're trying to market it as like Super Saturday with the Druids at one, the first 15 at three. There's even the Pencoed and the 14s playing against Ireland, the Welsh and the 14s, and Penarth are all coming down that in the mini. So it's going to be a busy day in the club, and we could have a bumper crowd. But I'm just trying to think that what do you think we can do to take this to another level? Where we have like maybe a former player dinner in the city, because it looks like we could run out of space fairly soon at ODP.
Well, I think that's right. That's probably the next stage, Gareth. I know that clubs like Bedford and Northampton, they despite where they they're located, they have their past player lunches in the city. Because they're big occasions, they've managed to sort of make them that over the years. A bit like we're a bit behind the curve on that, maybe. But it's nice to have it at Old Deer Park, but we're limited. We're limited to 143 people. maybe that's the future.
But plenty more to do. We probably need like an ex-player committee or something like that, don't we? Because it shouldn't
that would
fall.
Be useful, yeah.
It shouldn't fall. So maybe that's what we need to do on the 6th, is to get like a couple of players from each generation and say, look, and then let's how we can organise an event maybe, and we make it try bigger. Because I think, I remember talking to Dylan Wimpew, and they used to have like black tie dudes in Wandsworth or something, and there was like 800 people there. So in Wandsworth Town Hall for a London Welsh black tie dinner. So there's a lot we can do. But obviously, you've done a great job filling the Pagoda Room, which is brilliant. So I can't wait for April 6th to come along. I'm sure Hammersmith will bring quite a few people as well, which is great. But you work in finance, Ty, don't you? That's what you do as your day job, yeah?
I do. I mean, I'm sort of semi-retired now. Ever since I finished with RBS in 2016, I was doing a sort of work as a self-employed broker for a company that sells people's franchises for them. Because the last sort of 20 odd years in the bank, I was involved in franchising. I was director of franchising for RBS in England and Wales. And when people hear you're leaving, they say, do you fancy coming to do this? And I quite enjoy it. I can be busy. I can be quiet. But we take it from listing it to completion. It's good fun. Also, up until the end of the year of last year, I was working for Julian Davis's old company, Sears Davies, basically the accounts manager, doing all the finance stuff for Julian. He's sold up now, and I finished at the end of December last year.
Continuing working just enables you to have the sort of lifestyle that you have, like all these holidays you go on to the Caribbean and to India and places like that, yeah?
Well, it helps, doesn't it? I put the hard yards in, Gav.
Oh, I know. You've earned the right to that, don't you? I'm only jealous. When you were starting out, you had to combine your professional career with amateur rugby. And this is the thing, people in this day and age, obviously at London Welsh, we understand everyone's amateur now. But when you're watching pro players, they're fully professional. But you were playing top-tier rugby back in the day. And you have to combine your work and rugby. So you must have had very understanding companies you work for who allowed you to go to training, to play, and to go on tours.
They were always pretty good, to be fair. I mean, I remember actually the first game I played for Leicester, I think it was 19. I played against Nottingham on a Wednesday evening or Tuesday evening, Nottingham away at Beeston. And I didn't tell anyone. I said, I just sort of rushed down to the Tigers ground, where I was working in Leicester, and got on the coach, went to Nottingham. And they said next day, what do you mean you played for Tigers? Not told them, But that was it. You trained twice a week, played on a Saturday, sometimes played on a Sunday if there was sevens or whatever on that. But when I came down to London, I moved from Leicester to Brighton. So there were no first-class clubs in Sussex. So I moved. My dad said, why don't you join London Welsh? Because Leicester had introduced me to Roslyn Park, and I had a chat with their captain there, and I thought, well, I might as well go to London Welsh. It's only a couple of stops, and with dad being Welsh and my sort of affinity with Wales, I did, and I just turned up, But yeah, I was travelling up from Brighton three times a week.
Well, let's park that for a second, because obviously you were brought up in Leicester, so and you come from quite good sporting stock and quite athletic sporting stock, don't you? So your parents were quite sporty. So where was home for you as a child, and and how sort of what sort of sporting prowess did your parents have then?
Well, it was mainly my father, really. My mum wasn't really sporty. It was her dad who was quite sporty.
Ah, okay.
So I ate some sort of both lots of jeans were quite good. He was my mum's dad was a 100 yard champion those days, wasn't it? For Leicestershire. But my dad was very good. He was a fantastic athlete, a good rugby player. He played Wales schoolboys rugby. He was, in his county championships, and he used to, a bit like me really, used to do 100 metres, 200 metres, long jump, triple jump, high jump, whatever. But yeah,
Decathlon.
A good all-round athlete, really.
Mm-hmm. Decathlon.
He wasn't a Daley Thompson, but he was very good. And then he then became a physical training instructor in the RAF later. And he's when he left Wales at 19. So
And
yeah,
then,
there's good
yeah,
pedigree there.
that's good, isn't it? And then, so when did you start playing rugby then? When, did, I suppose, I'm not sure if you, in the sort of 60s and 70s, how big mini rugby was really in those days. And it's like, you probably,
There really wasn't any, to be honest. I went to a grammar school, Alderman Newton's Boys Grammar School, and that's when I started playing rugby there. It was a rugby school. You didn't play football, so yeah, I played all through the years there till I left, which was a very, great. Again, that's what rugby's all about. It's a great team game.
And what was the pathway then? Because you say you played school rugby. There was no like academy structure then or anything like that for Leicester. So how do you get spotted as a up and coming talented player in those
Well,
days?
I played for Leicestershire Colts in 78, 79, something like that. We had a good season. In fact, sort of seven of that squad went on to play for Leicester, along with me. And then I sort of, after that, played for my Old Boys a few games. And then Leicester came knocking at my door and asked if I wanted to play for Leicester Youth, which I suppose could be call it the equivalent of an academy these days. Obviously not as professional. So yeah, I had a season with Leicester Youth. We had a very good season. I think we were unbeaten, actually. And then went into the seniors after that.
Okay, so yeah, so Leicester Youth, Leicester, and you don't sign a contract, you weren't paid to play,
No,
really.
no,
So
no, no.
it's just like you just played for them. There's no legal work. It's what you did as a
No, it's
hobby,
all very amateur. You could, if you didn't want to play, you didn't want to play. But yeah, obviously I wanted to play, so.
but Leicester was it? This is before the leagues, really. So Leicester had, loads of was it loads of friendlies, loads of local derbies. What was like the structure of games at Leicester then?
It was a very similar sort of fixture list to what London Welsh had, really. The top Welsh clubs, the top English clubs are all as friendlies as they got. Not knowing
Yeah, of
well they weren't,
course.
but yeah. So yeah, the Moseleys, Nottinghams, Bristol, Bath, Netherley, Neath, and all that. Yeah, you name it.
And what was that, when you got into the sort of seniors? Because you said you played a few games for the Old Boys, but playing like senior rugby for Leicester, I take it as a Welford Road still then in those days.
Yes, yep,
Yeah. So
yep.
in front of a big crowd at at 19, what was that like? And who were sort of the key players? And there must have been some international players on the field.
Well, I think my first game that it was Dusty Hare was fullback, Clive Woodward and Paul Dodge in the centre, Les Cruswith fly half, Steve Kenny scrum half, Steve Redfern prop, Peter Wheeler, Robin Cowling, it was almost like a who's who. There were sort of times when Leicester won the John Player Cup three times over that sort of period I was there. But I wasn't in any of the teams of the winning teams, of course. But yeah, it was great. And because of the strength of Leicester, first team, the extras who I played for many times, we had a great squad as well.
How daunting was that as a 19? You were a winger, Di, then back in those days, yeah? Did you play the
I
wing?
was a winger and probably always been a winger, really. Yeah, I've played the odd game at fullback and centre, but mainly wing.
So how daunting was that then? Like you just all those players who were like seasoned internationals, in the Leicester team, and you're like at 19, if thrown, in the deep end, really, with those boys. How did that feel like, and what was that environment like?
It was a great environment, really, because we all trained together. I think we trained on a Monday and a Thursday rather than a Tuesday and Thursday, which is strange. We all trained together, socialized together. Some of the players were a bit above themselves, in the that sort of team. But most of the time, everyone got on really well. We had some great times. And yeah, everyone just mucked in. In fact, funny enough, when the Leicester used to do volunteering, the players had to volunteer behind the bar. They didn't have official paid bar staff, so we had a rota of doing the bar after training and on a Saturday even after the games. So that was quite good fun.
I think people did, I've probably heard stories of yesteryear at Leicester where people would go just after the game, pop a club blazer on and go and serve behind the bar after playing the first team game. Even up until,
Yeah,
the 90s, they were doing this.
if that was your turn that week, yeah, definitely, yeah, it was good. And obviously, your mates wouldn't pay the full price for a pint, you know. So it was, and it was tit for tat. If they were behind the bar, you wouldn't pay full price either.
And so. Obviously, you'd rehydrate behind the bar yourself if you're behind the bar. So you
well, you have to. That's one of the perks of doing it, you know. So that was the paid bit of it. Let's say.
No, definitely. Look, and I know you go back to Leicester for reunions. Is it like a, you know, because obviously there's a Wasps Hall of Fame. What do Leicester do for like former player reunions that maybe we as a club could learn from, you know, because I think didn't you go on the pitch recently or the last season as a former player?
Well, yeah, we have former player lunches. In fact, up until last year, the past players were called the Drog Lights, which is an anagram of old Tigers. And we had a summer ball every year, but we also had tours as well. And we'd also play local Leicestershire clubs for charity, things like that. And also teams like Saints, veterans and things like that. And then, you know, that was always great fun. We'd have a couple of lunches a year and then watch the game. And there is something called the Drog Lights Bar at Leicester as well. Then Leon Lloyd, who obviously was one of the Leicester stars of more recent times, wanted to get his sort of people and others that for the professional era involved in Leicester, and, you know, and he's basically come up with this thing called the saber tooths. Basically, it's still a tiger but long in the tooth, you know. So we've almost like, well, we have sort of amalgamated the Drog Lights with the saber tooths. So we're all in this massive WhatsApp group where, you know, all these stars are putting these things on. I'm thinking, okay, yeah, all right. But we had a charity lunch in December up in London, actually, the last 2 years, and that's getting bigger and bigger. So there's things like that we can sort of learn from.
That's fair enough. So so you played for Leicester for like 2 or 3 years, is that right? And then you had to move because of work?
Yeah, I played and I left Leicester. 79-80 was, that was one of, my first, and I left in 83, that's right. So like four senior seasons in there. And then, with work basically moved me to Brighton from, so quite a long, quite a long move, really.
So you mentioned you met somebody at Rostyn Park and then, you know, you came to London Welsh, but obviously you had to train twice a week and play. Did you live in Brighton and then commute?
Yeah, I lived, what they call HR now, our personnel department, forgot about me because I was in a hotel on the Hove seafront for 8 months, which was great, really, you know. So that was quite handy. And then I bought a flat in Hove. So, I was up and down to, spent just as much time in London as I did in Richmond than I did in Hove. And
That's a 4 hour round trip to Richmond, really, from Brighton, isn't it?
Well, I used to jump on the train for training. I mean, basically, it's not too bad. Brighton to Clapham Junction, and then obviously Clapham Junction to Richmond. Yeah. But it was afterwards getting home, you know, after training, and you know, trains not so good. But you know, you did it when you're young. You do it, don't you?
you do need to play for London Welsh, and so you sort of chose London Welsh, you know, because of your Welsh background, and you know, you had a worthy dad, that sort of thing. And then, so what was your first impressions of London Welsh, having been at Leicester and then, you know, turned up to training? And obviously, this is the 80s, but you know, we're still quite a strong squad there. I'm sure, you know, having people like Kevin Bowring and been there, Ackerman, you know, like that. So it's quite a lot of depth and possibly, you know, quite a lot of sides, I imagine.
Yes, I think those days there was the first, the Druids, the Dragons, the A's, the extra A's, Ockies, probably another A's team as well, you know. It was to go around, but I turned up. I think my first game, because I didn't tell anyone, I just turned up at training, and then I was picked, I think, for the extra A's my first game. And it was when Ron and Val Holly were in charge of them. And I think I scored four tries. And at the end of the game, she's, "Where you come from?" You know, Ron's own inimitable way, bless him. And then I think it was in the seconds the following week, and then the first the week after that. And then I think a run of about 10 games, and then I think I got injured or probably out of favour, you know, one of those.
So obviously you just, as people do with London Welsh, and still now people just turn up to training, and that's so you didn't like call ahead, say, "Look, this is Di Williams from Leicester coming to London Welsh to train," like, you know, just give them a nod and a wink, but you just turned up Without
I
saying
just,
anything.
yeah, I didn't want to sort of be presumptuous and just say, I'm coming from Leicester, where can I play, whatever. I just thought, no, let's give it a go and see so it all pans out.
Well, it turned out right, didn't it? You got straight in the first team. And actually, that first season at Welsh, according to our records, right, you made 20 appearances. You scored 12 tries. So it's not a bad debut season, you would say that, because that's quite a lot of games. And again, this is before the leagues. So would you have and there's also tours. This is the time when the club toured to like the Christmas tour. You went on that, didn't you? What was that like?
Well, that was good fun. Yeah, the rugby wasn't fun because we always get thrashed against Letley and Swansea. But yeah, good bunch of lads, very social as well. So yes, good times, good boozy trip. But rugby was tough. I remember I was obviously in Leicester Christmas Day, and Boxing Day, I drove to Matthew Edgeworth, who used to play at the Welsh fullback fly half. He lived in Northampton, so I drove to his, and then we drove to Netley together for the game of Boxing Day.
Wow. And then, but then how much later would the game of Swansea be? Like a couple of days later, I suppose, you got another game, yeah?
I can't remember if it was the following day or the day after that. I can't remember off the top of my head. But yeah, two games in quick succession, and I know I got a knock against Netley, and I had a fitness test, which I'd never had before, on the morning of the Swansea game, and I played, but I don't probably shouldn't have played because I don't think I had my best game.
As you say, these are quite social as well. So, you're playing quite hard rugby in Wales, and then you're all back in the clubhouse afterwards enjoying the hospitality of these clubs, which means it makes it quite challenging getting up the next day to play again.
Yes, indeed it does. Yes. But we did it, and we hoped that the opposition team were doing the same thing as well. So,
Yeah, look, it just amazes me how much rugby people played in those days. It really does. I know people that at the top level, which you were playing then, they're a lot bigger now. It's much more physical, and people, it's probably the size of the players back then is probably similar to the size of players in our sort of level five now. Would you say in terms of amateur rugby, or is it still different? Would you say, just as the size of the player?
oh yeah, I mean, today you can't compare the size of today's players, with those days. It was, I mean, I was never big, but I was okay on the wing. Crikey, some of the wingers now, the 6'5", 18 stone, you stand a chance.
That's Sean Cowdy, nearly. Sean Cowdy at London Welsh. He's 6'5", isn't he? He's mental, isn't he?
At
Look,
least I knew I'd be quicker than them. That's the main thing.
run! You can run rings around him, can you? Look, the following season, first, you got either injured or not selected. But also, I think, you played a lot of sevens at London Welsh as well. So we had Middlesex sevens, things like that. So did you play sevens at the end of your first season?
Yeah, it's funny, that first season, we used to have the Middlesex prelims at Austerlee, prior to the week before the main event at Twickenham. And we got the first seven and the second seven in into the Middlesex sevens that year. So I was in the second seven that year. And we played Roslyn Park in the first game, and we narrowly lost. I blame Reesey, to be honest, because he should have kicked the ball out. But anyway, they won, and because we would have played the first seven. If we'd won that one, we'd have played the first seven, which would have been very interesting because they went on to win it that year.
Yeah.
But no, great fun, great times that was. And then the following year was a bit of a disaster for me, but there we go.
But the following year at London Welsh, after having your debut season, did you play a lot of first team in the second season of London Welsh? Were you in and out of the side? Because obviously you said there's like six to eight sides at London Welsh, and there's people turning up all the time. So it only takes a winger to turn up who the selectors think will be better than you on the day. Then you're back in the Druids, then, aren't you?
Yeah, that's yes, very much so. Yeah, I mean, I did have quite a lot of injuries as well. I mean, my hamstrings were never great. I tore my hamstring at school first time, and then I had problems with both legs hamstrings. So I'd when you've done that, you're sort of out for 6 to 8 weeks, so that takes a chunk out of your season. But it was either injury or not selected. Who knows.
But again, you still, when you weren't injured, you play. There's always a side to play in, isn't it, London
Oh yeah, there's
Welsh?
always a side to play. Yeah.
So
And a great standard as well.
Yeah, I'm sure. So you mentioned that you didn't have a great sevens the second year. What happened in then, Dad? Did you get injured in it or something?
No, well, only my pride, really. We played Harlequins in the first round. I was in the first seven that year. Harlequins had a big winger called Simon Hunter, and basically ran through me three times and scored three tries and made me look a complete knob. I mean, the benefit of hindsight, I should have let him go because I knew I was quicker than him and tackled him from behind. But, you know, there we go. So, you know, it was one of those times when you sort of want the ground to open up and swallow you, really.
And where was this being played? Was this playing at Twickenham itself?
At Twickenham,
or
yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
So I've got, for some reason, I've got a picture of Jonah Lomu running over Mike Catt in the 95 World Cup. Is
similar.
That what, is it
very
similar to that?
Similar, yeah. Mike Catt or Tony Underwood, yeah, definitely, yeah.
Oh, dear. But you did play, I think you did play in the Cup quarter final versus Waterloo, didn't you, in 85?
Did I? I can't remember, Gareth, to be honest. My memory, you know, I can't remember what I did last week, let alone.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Look, I've sort of got the benefit of like Mark Wilkin-Jones going through all the records, but you said like you did miss a lot of the 84-85 season, and you know, there weren't many pre-season friendlies, but you did go to North Wales to play, and you played in Pwllheli.
No, that's right. I remember that. Yeah, yeah.
I think
yes. Mike Roberts organised that, I think.
Like a mini pre-season tour sort of thing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But you played the quarter final of the cup, but you didn't get selected for the semi final, the final back in those days. So do you remember?
No, I was on the bench for the semi final. Yeah. Yeah.
So and you only came on in those days if people were literally had to be dragged off the pitch, yeah.
But yeah, if something was hanging off them, basically, you know, it was and actually Clive Rees did get injured, but he wouldn't come off, and I was a bit pissed off with him. But there you go.
It's just really weird because it's the detriment to the team, isn't it? It's a team game, and
yeah.
You know, if someone's you know that injured, you think you know the coach would say you're off, but they didn't do that in those days, no.
No, I mean, it's like those days. If you went as a replacement, if nobody got injured, you didn't feel part of it if you'd not played. You could go all the way down to Wales and sit on the bench, not get on, and you don't really feel part of the squad.
That's a shit day out that as well, mate. Go all the way. Yeah, if you go all the way to Wales and sit on a bench, as you know, you understand in professional sport, people are being paid, but you're giving up your time to play again top tier rugby, but you still want to be involved, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, of course. That's why you play the game.
And so, on final day. So you said you're on the bench in the semi final. Did you sit on the bench in the final, or were you?
No, I must have got deposed in the. I did get deposed in the for the final as well. So no, I just watched that with all the boys at Twickenham.
But a great
which,
game
again, was a great
occasion because I remember talking to Barrel, and Barrel, I think, was 17 at the time, so he was in the stand somewhere. So and just I think in the Shaftesbury before and the Shaftesbury afterwards, and then went Barrel. But so what was that day like for you from being in the player pool and being at Twickenham with you know, and your mates were playing at Twickenham for London Welsh in probably one of the biggest games in London Welsh's history. Mm. What was that like from your perspective?
Well, it was great. I mean, it was fantastic that the club had got to the, you know, the final in their centenary year as well. And, you know, yeah, we lost the game, but, the boys played well. It was just a great occasion, as all those things are at Twickenham, really. Big crowd. You know, we didn't celebrate. We commiserated after, but still got as drunk as we probably would as if we'd celebrated. So. And it was all great fun. Yeah. You with your mates, you're just having a good laugh, you know.
Yeah, win or lose, on the booze. And speaking about on the booze, and we've heard from, you know, again, from other guests on the podcast, that the tours during this time. So I think at the end of that 85 season, there's a tour to Canada, wasn't there, I think? Is that right? And one of the first of a couple of tours to Canada. So what were those tours like from your perspective, Di?
Oh, fantastic. I mean, it was organised by Paul Miller, who used to play prop at the club. He was a great organiser, Paul. I mean, he's actually coming next week to the Past Players Do. He lives in Sweden now, but he's coming all the way from Sweden to the Past Players Do.
That's amazing.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And it was 3 weeks, you know, which is a hell of a long time. And the rugby was very, you know, the rugby was good. They were, you know, but they weren't the best, so we had quite a bit of downtime and quite a bit of boozing time. It was just a very good fun tour with your mates. I've got a couple of guys who are coming who have not. There's a guy called Jan Koops who have not seen probably since then. He's coming to the Past Players do next week as well. So.
I suppose, but see, a 3 week tour, you probably play what, like four matches, and you said that the level of opposition was not up to what your usual standards, which means you're hydrating well between matches. But you can't be on a booze for the 21 days. Any sort of cultural activities in there, Di?
Oh yeah, we horse riding and things like that, and all barbecues, plenty of barbecues. So that's cultural. We visited some great places. I think it was Toronto, Niagara Falls. Great. Yeah, some lovely place. A great place, Canada. Such a
And
massive
we had
place.
sponsors would help out with the tours, and also people, obviously the players would have to chip in. But if you've got a family, take 3 weeks off of your annual leave, maybe to go on a London Welsh rugby tour, it's quite a challenge for some, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think I was single then, so I was fine. And yeah, raising money, we had, and I think for both kind of the tours, we basically raised money ourselves, did sponsored. We didn't basically from London Welsh round Richmond Park and back, about 10 miles, I think. So we did like a sponsored run to raise money for that. And some of the boys were doing some refurbishing a warehouse and things like that, and getting paid, putting the money in the kit that into the kitty that way. So yeah, we helped, plus the club chipped in as well.
Did you tour every year? Because obviously you can't go to like far-flung places every year. Do you ever do any European tours?
We went to France a few times. I think David Guinevor went to play. I think Grenoble we went to. They're always good fun when David's involved. You probably didn't know Dav, did you?
No.
No. Character. David and people like Ron Holly and that. All good fun.
And how many people would go on these tours? Because obviously you said you got and was it open to everyone, or was it open like to? So there's a performance squad tour, and then there's an Ockies tour, and there's a this tour, that tour. Or is it just a one London Welsh tour, and
It
anyone who
was,
wants
yeah,
to
it was,
go?
it that was because the it was a centenary tour that the main sort of this main squad at the time went on, which was the world tour, which was basically living out of the suitcase. I don't think they had as good a time as we did, frankly, but the rest of it was like extras and remaining bits, extras. I'm talking about Leicester now, Druids and Dragons,
Yeah.
something like that. Yeah,
Oh, wow.
good bunch of boys there. Good bunch of boys. We went round in minibuses and fantastic time.
And as you mentioned, I think you fell out of favour sometimes from the selectors due to, whatever reason, you might have been injured, coming back from injury, being run over by that Quins player. So I know you've played 40 first team games for 7 years at London Welsh, but you would have played, when you weren't injured, you were available for selection and you played for London Welsh. Would you know like how many other games you'd have played for the club during that time? Just like, even if you had a guess at it, really, Dave, it must be, it's a lot, isn't it?
I would have played, probably getting towards 100 games for the Druids, I imagine, and then a few, quite a lot for the Dragons as well, later years. Yeah, I've no, I don't, never kept a record of it really.
That's fair enough, and you've got a red shirt on, haven't you? So you just felt you were
Yeah,
playing for London
you
Welsh
played for the club.
with
Yeah,
your mates.
and it was always. We always played a good standard. We always had a great fixture list, Druids and Dragons and the A's always had a good fixture list. So you're always playing against quality sides.
And were they often like first teams from other clubs you're playing against, or were they second teams from like the Leicesters, the Llanelli's or whoever it was? How did that work, the fixture
Yeah, the
list?
Druids would normally play the second team of the. Let's say the first team were playing, not normally on this, but sometimes on the same days because you'd probably go on the coach together. But you'd play the Leicesters, the Northamptons, the Bedfords, the Baths, the Bristols, etc., and Danny Wales as well.
That's
But
fair enough.
mainly the Wales ones were probably more the local clubs' first teams.
Okay, but you also had like some amazing fixtures at London Welsh because of the nature of the club, and you played against Yugoslavia, didn't you? One year, do you
We
remember
did play
that?
Yugoslavia. Yeah, I think we played them on a Wednesday night. Which
But
was good.
would that been at London Welsh then, on pitch
At
two?
London Welsh, yeah. I think it was probably an early kickoff.
So you could be on a decent pitch then.
Yeah, it was on the first team pitch. Yeah, I think I scored a couple of tries then.
Well, what's the deal? You did that quite a lot. So I think you also in the late 89 league season, which was the second year of the leagues, you played, I think, the last two games against Northampton and Bedford, but not because of you, but the club were then relegated
I'm glad you said that, yeah.
from the Courage National 2, which was the second year of the league structure. So, that's probably the first time in a while, maybe the club has, because it's the first time with the league structures being relegated. So how was that, around the club in those days to be relegated? Because we've really had success probably for a long time as a club.
Yeah, I think that was probably the start of the not demise, but the is when the club started to sort of have a struggle really. Because the leagues were very, very new. We got relegated, and then I think we seasons after that we got relegated even further. But yeah, that's what it was. Maybe we didn't have the quality of squad we could have had in that we would have had in the past. But yeah, one of those things.
And so you played for London Welsh until 1990, is that right? Around then?
Yeah,
No.
1990. Yeah, played two games. Yeah, it's funny. I started playing more that season. I think Julian Davis, my mate, was captain, so he picked me. So,
That helps, doesn't it? It always helps when that happens. So, a bit of nepotism in a way. But
Well,
so
I'm
that's,
sure there was a committee involved,
yeah, it always is, isn't it? Always is. But so what made you decide to hang up the boots? In terms of like performance rugby.
I think injuries. Was the body was starting to get a bit knackered. Plus my eldest son was Reese was born in 1990 as well, so a bit more commitments on that front as well. Work was busy as well, so it was all quite a bit. And I thought, well, let's call it a day on that. The sort of not professional, but the first class sort of front
And
to play a bit of
did you
team
play on
safety.
afterwards then? Did you play like social rugby or
I did.
touch rugby or
I
vets or
played.
something?
Yeah. There was no real touch rugby around those days. No. What I did. I played for the Bank of England vets because some mates of mine were playing up there, and they said, why don't you join them? It literally was a 10-minute walk from my house, so it was quite handy. Plus, it got me cheap family membership with the Bank of England club, so that was a good incentive. So I played a few games there, and also I then started playing for the Drog Lights. On these tours, a mate of mine says he just started playing. He says, "Come and play." So I turned up there and had quite a few games of the Drog Lights, which is good fun, and a few tours as well. Sort of, Barcelona and Grenoble and Limerick and places like that. Fantastic.
So you'd actually say you've sort of had a newborn baby, works busy, but you still managed to get time away from home to go on these tours to keep in touch with your former teammates, basically, yeah.
Well, exactly. I think I have to keep my hand in, Guy. It's the you can't let it all go.
That's called getting away with murder, isn't it? Look, I think. But did London Welsh have a vet side in those days, or was it?
They did actually,
Or did
yes,
it?
they did. They didn't play that often, but again, Gareth James was involved in that, and JPR used to play for that as well. And yeah, they went up. I think they used to, they had a few. I think they went on tours as well. Overseas, but I know they played up north somewhere as well. Again, very good social thing for them, which was good, yeah.
That's what it is, isn't it? I think even the vets this year, I think they only get 6 to 8 games at London Welsh now, and even that's the league structure as well, which is, it's a shame, really. But look, you've made some great mates at London Welsh. That's very, very telling, and in terms of the type of club we are, and the type of people we attract to our club. But you also formed this Martini Club with all your playing mates, didn't you? Which is like, I think you just recently celebrated 30 years of the Martini Club. So what is it, and who are sort of I probably can call them reprobates who are in there.
There's been a number. I mean, there's been a number of people in it. There's a core group which have been in it since inception, really, which is 30 years ago now. There's Julian Davis, Porky Parsons, Nigel Connell, Phil Parker, Gar Tom, Gareth Thomas, Reesey, Nigel Reese.
Yeah.
And we've had some newer members join us, because we were sort of dwindling down to eight. I think we were 13 in our last trip, well, last month in Limerick. We've also got John Morgan, Barrel,
Yeah.
Emma Blees, Byron Light, Di Rees, so it's a good squad. And again, yeah, everyone enjoys it. We used to do basically we'd do Paris, Dublin. We'd always do Dublin. We've been to Scotland and we've been to Rome. We've knocked sort of Paris on the head now, and we just do the French towns,
Okay.
which is great to do. So we've done sort of Biarritz, Bordeaux, Perpignan, Montpellier, Lyon. And this year it was the first time we veered away from Dublin. We thought, let's just give somewhere else a chance. So we went to Limerick, again on the Island Wales weekend. Had a fantastic time. Great city.
And you all dress up in these like red martini jackets as well. Like, have they lasted 30 years as well?
No, you wouldn't believe the amount of old kit that I've got that's martini stuff, bobbled sweatshirts and things like that. Yeah, I mean, the martini thing is we sort of said any time, the old martini advert, any time, any place, anywhere. And Julian, obviously being a graphic designer, designed the logo and everything like that. And over the years we've basically got loads and loads of stuff: bobble hats, French berets, beanie hats, T-shirts, polo shirts, all sorts of things, and jackets. So yeah, we've got basically a wardrobe full of martini crap.
They'll probably be found on eBay at some point. But look, is it the whole point, the purpose of the Martini Club is just a way of keeping in touch with your teammates, yeah.
It's just a lot of mates going away together for an international weekend, having a bit of fun and a few drinks.
No, brilliant. And as you said earlier, like you had your firstborn was Reese was in 1990. You have two children,
Number
but
three.
three, sorry. So have they all played for London Welsh or?
No, Reese played.
Yeah.
Problem is with Reese, he kept dislocating both shoulders. So, once you've done that, they're never the same. So he had to give up his rugby.
But he played the minis and the youth?
He played minis youth, and then he went into the seniors, played a few games in the sort of the what they'd be, I don't know, Dragons, something. I don't know what they were called when he was
So,
playing.
and did you get involved in coaching him as well when you're in the minis and youth? Is that
Yeah, I
something that
did
you could do?
minis and youth coaching, yeah, for while he was growing up.
And
So that.
so and when you say we play for the Dragons, what sort of era is this? Because trying to just compute it in my own mind
I'm
for our
trying to think now.
listeners as
What is he
well.
now? He's
33,
34 now. Of course, that was
34,
good maths. Yeah.
yeah.
So I suppose that would have been about 10 years ago now, something like
So
that.
when we're in the Premiership then, so we're like the pros are going to Oxford sort of thing, and we're all in the Championship and the Premiership. It's around like 2012 and 13. He's 22, 23, playing for the amateurs when who were were probably didn't get much of a look in really when you got all the semi
No.
pro outfits, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but enjoyed it. He made a few mates there. But the problem is with his shoulders. He just no point. He spent quite a lot of time at West Middlesex Hospital,
Yeah,
basically.
it's once you've done that a few times, you don't want to be back there, do you, I
No, you
suppose?
don't. Not at all. No.
But at least he comes to the club. I've seen him in the club with his
Oh yeah.
so which is great. And then you said I've seen Beth Ann, your daughter's played for our women,
She has indeed. Yeah.
and
She enjoyed that.
you'd come and watch, and it's quite a proud moment. It must be to see your children playing senior rugby at for your club.
Yes, it is. It's fantastic, really. I was very scared for Bethan because she's not the biggest. She played on the wing, and but she was quick, which was good. A bit like
She's
her
got
dad,
the
but
Williams gas, hasn't she?
yeah, she has. Yeah,
Did
yeah.
Reese have that as well? Where did Reese play?
It wasn't as no, he no.
But
He'll hate me for saying that. He was fairly quick, but not like me.
where did he play then? If Bethan played the wing, where did Reese play?
He played on the flank.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not fair enough.
Yeah.
No, that's
And
great. That's just great that the that's great that being like Reese, it's not easy taking kids from mini rugby to senior rugby. It's really not many do that. It's surprising sometimes. because it's
Yeah,
quite
there's that
late.
gap, isn't there, when people sort of fall out of that,
Yeah,
really,
and people
and
come
never
to it
really come
late
back.
because it's a late developing game, that sort of thing. And then
Yeah.
for Bethan to be part of, our women's story again, that's great. Did you? And you said you had another child as well. Did he or
Yeah,
she
Derry.
play?
Well, he was never really. I don't think he was ever. He did go to mini rugby. The problem is, when he was seven, he had cancer. He had an
Okay.
osteosarcoma in his leg, so he had to have a big operation and a titanium in effect, like about 5 inches of his bone taken away and titanium thing put in. So he couldn't play then after that. So
That's
yeah.
understandable. But okay, now I know you're also busy with other things because you're very involved with the Voyagers. So what do you do for them? And what's again, because we have different listeners to these podcasts every episode. So what is the Voyagers and what's the purpose of them as a charity?
Well, the Voyagers is, I suppose, our sort of strap line is it's a charitable society providing assistance for injured and amateur sportsmen and women. So injured amateur sportsmen and women. It's been going probably nearly 70 years now. I think we're coming up to probably our 70th anniversary. And it was founded by a number of London Welsh supporters, players stroke supporters, many, many years ago that came back from holidays and had all these pesetas and francs and Deutschmarks and stuff like that, and just put them all in as a sort of like a right, stick them in there as a charity, and it just grew from that really. And we basically, we seek donation. Well, we seek people looking for donations if somebody's had a very bad rugby injury. They've been typically rugby injuries over the year, and I suppose we've donated over. Probably over £250,000 over the years. Our typical, can range from about 1,000 to 5,000 is our normal. We're not massive,
Yeah.
because we don't get a lot of income, but we do what we can when we see. And social media is a good way of picking up these things. So I usually, as secretary, get in touch with if you've seen somebody on a trying to raise funds through Just Giving or something like that, because somebody's had a bad injury, get in touch with them and then get the background. And if we feel as a committee it's worth assisting, then we will do.
That's brilliant. Look, and what events have they got over the summer then? Because I know you have your Christmas fundraising lunch, which is your biggest event of the year. But you run some sevens teams, a team, and you have an event in the summer, don't you?
Yeah, we do. We have a summer barbecue, which we have at the Bowls Club. We normally get about 70 or 80 people there, which is quite good. That's at the end of July. Before that, in May, we've got two big tournaments, rugby sevens tournaments. Nigel Connell arranges those. He gets a great squad of players together. We compete in the elite competition in the Bournemouth Sevens, which the Bournemouth Sevens, or the Bournemouth Festival, if you like, because it's not just rugby there. It's probably the biggest event in the country, the Sevens. And we won the plate final last year, which was very good. Problem is with that, it's becoming more and more expensive. And we fund it from the 100 Club, the Voyagers
Yeah.
100 Club. So we are looking for people to sponsor if they can. So if they can get in touch with me or Nigel Connell, it'd be great if somebody could sponsor us for that. We're also in the we've always been in the Old Penarthians Sevens. I think it's their centenary this year as well, so we do that. I think that's some. I can't remember what date it is in May.
Yeah, we've got all Penarthians under 18s come to play our under 18s at the end of April.
All right.
We'll be pushing that out on social media. But look, that's great. The Voyagers do that, and I'm sure we can promote the Bowls Club thing. So look, I know you've been in the Welsh a long time. You're getting there like in 83, 84. So coming to 40 years at London Welsh, really, as a player and supporter. But when you look back at your time at the club, what are your fondest memories, and what does a club like really mean to you?
Fondest memories. It's the people I've met, really, and the mates, the friends I've made, very, very close friends. And it's the welcoming environment of Old Deer Park. You can go there and always talk to somebody. There's the supporters are fantastic there. The staff at ODP are good as well. They know us very well. It's just a great club. It's just a great club. Obviously, the facilities are good, a bit tired these days, but you know, could do with a bit of work on those, but I'm sure that will happen in the future. Yeah, it's just a very welcoming club, and I think everyone, and it's iconic. You walk through those gates and you see, you know, the pictures and you see the pagoda, you know, in the background. It's fantastic. There's not many clubs have got that.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the finest sights in world rugby, I reckon. As you say, you
Yeah.
just come, go past the horrible turnstile and then
Yes.
look at the stand, the pagoda, when the sun's out. It's just beautiful, isn't it?
It is, yeah. No, it's fantastic. And those big rugby posts as well.
No, it's brilliant. Look, Di, it's been brilliant chatting to you. I just want to thank you on behalf of all the, you know, the board, that sort of thing, for putting so much effort in to the four players' lunch, because it's sold out. We're going to have a busy club with thanks to you and some of the former players back. And we're going to, it's going to be a great Saturday. No matter what happens on the pitch, we'll have a great time off the pitch. And that's down to some of the work you've been putting on behind the scenes. So thank you. And thank you for your time today. It's been great catching up with you and hearing a lot about your rugby story.
No, it's a pleasure, Gareth. No, thank you very much. It's been hard work organizing the past players thing, but it will be well worth it. It'll be a fantastic event next Saturday. The club will be buzzing. And thank you for asking me.
No problem. See you soon.
Cheers, Gareth. Thanks.